But for now, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, get crunch time rolling with the local view, the fine columnist for the Register Guard, registerguard.com online. If you're Oregon-centric, try ducksports.com on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Austin, good afternoon to you, sir. How are things?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Awesome. So, Tampa, you're going to be local, spending your days at Tampa Downs, the retirement community in St. Petersburg, or watching on TV with the rest of us here in Eugene. So are you headed south and east, or are you hanging?
You know, I checked the train route to Tampa Bay, but that was a little longer trip than I was prepared for. I think I would have made it sometime probably the second half of the national championship if I left right now. So I decided to stick around here.
Okay. You know, kind of off that path, I saw you tweeted out a story. The students at the Daily Emerald, the Oregon school newspaper, who were trying to raise money so they could follow the women's team to Florida. So, you know, we spread the word, throw a few bucks in the pot, and we're in a time that I say frighteningly, you know, the media gets painted in a negative light by some influential people. From your chair, I'd imagine not only do you take it personally, but you must be one of those people who wants to shout it from the mountaintops how important it is to provide opportunities for young journalists.
You know, I thought it was really cool to see the response to the GoFundMe page for the Emerald students. Their goal was to raise $1,500 to make that trip. And last time I checked it, they were at like $2,200 or something. The donations just keep coming in. That's so cool to see. Steve, I don't know if you knew this. For the last couple months, I've been doing some work with the Emerald, just kind of hanging around their newsroom and just kind of being there as a resource for the students, and it's been super fun for me. I've had a blast with it. I just love being around the students. I love their enthusiasm and their passion for journalism. They do such great work there, so I was really happy to see them have that experience. You know, it was something I was able to do when I was in college, to have some of those experiences as part of my student newspaper. It's so valuable. You know, there's no substitute for being able to be there and actually do the job and to be working side by side with the pros. So I was just really, really appreciative of all the people who chipped in on that, and really happy for the students that they're going to get that opportunity.
Yeah, that's amazing. I did some work, my college paper, the Pioneer Press at William Patterson, and my high school paper, the Patriot Press. But what?
Steve, where did you go wrong? We had you on our side, and you lost you at some point.
I discovered some, let's just say, worse habits that kind of derailed me. But I'm kind of curious.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the statute of limitations has run out, but maybe it's for the best. The paper in college where you kind of formed your journalistic traits, what was that, and any specific or special memories of stories you covered?
You know, I wrote for the Kansas State Collegian when I was in school, and probably my most vivid memory of my time as a student journalist was taking the car trip. You know, speaking of long trips, we drove from Manhattan, Kansas to Auburn for a football game, Auburn, Alabama. I don't remember how long that drive was. We just piled in a van and we took off. You know, that was the kind of stuff you used to do when you were in college. Now that seems crazy, but you know, when you're a college kid, you don't think anything of it. It's a fun adventure.
I'm sure, and we'll figure out the distance between Auburn, Alabama, and Manhattan, Kansas. But that's a bit of a hike. And for folks out there, if you want to help out, the Twitter account is at Daily Emerald. If you go to GoFundMe.com and key in Daily Emerald. But I want to get to the hoops as we continue with Austin Meek. I snuck down and sat with you guys Sunday as the Ducks won their way to the Final Four. What struck me, you know, Moda holds about 20,000. There were just over 11,000. Would I be accurate to say that, you know, pound for pound, just that was as loud and explosive as an atmosphere? It was kind of amazing.
first of all, I'm surprised that they allowed you to stay in that seat. That was the biggest upset of the weekend in my book. But it was nice to be able to watch the game with you, and I had the same impression that, you know, I've been to Blazers playoff games when that place is absolutely packed and sold out. You know, it 11,000 people, it's not the same as 20,000 people, but that was such a cool atmosphere. You know, and I really do think, and it, you know, it's been debated in the days after the game about whether you should have a situation like that where one team has that kind of advantage. But I just think it's great for the game. I think it's great for women's basketball. You know, it was Vic Schaefer, the Mississippi State coach, who made the point. It's like, would it have been better to play that game in a city where nobody cared about it in front of 1,000 fans? No, of course not. You want to be where fans are invested and interested in the game. You know, that passion of the crowd, I think, fueled both teams. It fueled Oregon, but I think it fueled Mississippi State, too. You know, when as an athlete, I would imagine that when you're playing in front of a crowd with that kind of energy, you know, you're going to elevate your game. So I thought it was a great game and a great atmosphere for it.
Yeah, you know, the cliche is it's a shame somebody's got to lose. And we've seen low-scoring games, bad shooting percentage, you know, in football turnovers where it seems, you know, somebody's got to win. But my word, 88-84 is a big number in college. Both teams shot over 50% from three, 39 assists. They only turned it over total 14 times. I mean, how incredibly well played was that game by, let's face it, two elite teams?
Yeah, you know, I kind of, in my mind, compared it to like a great 10K race, you know, if you're a track person, where, you know, you've got two people out front and, you know, they're kind of swapping the lead, and anytime one pulls away a little bit, the other one comes back and gets right on their shoulder. It was that kind of game, you know, just both teams leaving it all out there. And there were times in the fourth quarter, you know, when it seemed like Oregon was about to land that knockout punch and the crowd was ready to celebrate, and Mississippi State just didn't let it happen until the very end, until Sabrina hit that step-back three-pointer, and then Maite Cazorla hit her three-pointer a couple possessions later. So just, you know, everything that you could ask for from a game on that stage and in that setting.
Yeah, you mentioned the finish and the step-back three by Sabrina. I'm just going to call it icy. I thought Sabali, just her crazy skill set was on display for all to see, and Ruthie having to battle Tierra McGowan was kind of epic. But when they got that ball with 54 seconds left, moved it around, Sabrina hit Cazorla for, I thought that was really the dagger three. For all the spectacular players and who get all the accolades, Austin, how fitting was it that the senior, who's been such a rock, steps up in a moment like that and just drilled it?
Yeah, you know, Sabrina gets so much of the focus with that team, and rightfully so. I mean, she's a star. You know, she's a transcendent player. She's one of the faces of women's basketball nationally. So it makes sense that she gets a lot of the attention. But, you know, and I wrote this in the column, I think part of the secret to Oregon's success is that Sabrina has never overshadowed the rest of the team, at least within their locker room. You know, they've remained a really cohesive team, even with one player who is such a national star. And, you know, as you pointed out, I think we saw that in that game. Sabrina was amazing. She had 31 points and 8 assists and 7 rebounds. But every time it was somebody else's turn to make a play, they stepped up and did it, whether it was Ruthie or Satu or Maite hitting that shot that I agree was the dagger. And I think that's why Oregon is such a good team, is because, yeah, they have Sabrina who, you know, when you need somebody to go make a play, she can do it. But when it's somebody else's turn, she also can set it up and get out of the way, which is a pretty rare quality, I think, with a star player of her caliber.
No, that was a couple of amazing moments. It's just like you said, everybody had an answer for everything in Mississippi State's case, maybe not until the last minute, but for the first 39. A couple final thoughts. Austin Meek, register guard. I'll always be convinced that you and I convinced the men's team over the past few weeks they had to win the Pac-12 tournament. Then they were capable of winning games in the Big Dance. But seriously, if not for some, I'm going to call them empty late possessions against Virginia, you know, they could have very easily been in the Elite Eight. So when you think about what's happened since the end of February through last Thursday in the coming years, well, what's going to stand out to you about this run?
Oh, man. You know, I think just, you know, the enduring image will be Peyton Pritchard, and just how he put the team on his back. I think it'll be, you know, Kenny Wooten really kind of coming of age, you know, on that stage, even though he didn't have a great game against Virginia. But I thought, you know, those first and second round games were kind of his coming out party. You know, I just think you'll remember that team maybe as being kind of unique among any Oregon team I've seen, in the way that they, you know, went from one extreme to the other. You know, a team that just seemed so disjointed to a team that seemed really together and you know, really confident and really focused. You know, I think it's a run that's gonna stick with a lot of people. And, you know, honestly, I think it needs to be a run that carries Oregon into the off season and into next year. You know, I think, and you hope that the legacy of that, you know, that team and that finish is going to be that kind of got them back to where they want to be. You know, and you hope that they can build on that next year and not be back in that position where, you know, it's February and they're on the bubble and they need another run like that to save them. You hope that now they've established, you know, what the potential is for this team, and they can stay at that level.
You know, in closing, Steve's article today talking about who stays, who goes, and we know about Bol Bol gone. I would be surprised if Lewis King stayed around. I mean, his skill set is incredible. But Peyton Pritchard, you mentioned, I mean, he was fantastic. He showed the clutch gene and leadership. He was instrumental in the Final Four. But am I off base thinking I'm a little skeptical about his now being talked about as a NBA player? Is that fair?
Pritchard, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He'll probably test the waters because he's a junior and he can, and there's no risk in it. Get your evaluation, figure out what you can improve on, but he's not going anywhere. He'll be back. And, you know, I'm sure he'll have a professional career at some point, some kind, after he leaves Oregon. But, no, he's coming back. In terms of Lewis King, I'm with you. I'll be surprised if Lewis King comes back. We know that Bol is gone. We know that they lose Paul White and Ihab Amin. So, you know, they're going to have some holes to fill. But I think they are going to have probably a nucleus coming back with Pritchard and with Kenny Wooten. You know, you'd think that they have the pieces next year to not take a big step back, to be able to, like I was saying, kind of follow up and build on what they've done.
Yeah, you mentioned Wooten kind of was introduced nationally, last thought, and I've had some people say, is he really serious about the NBA? I look at kind of when Jordan Bell was a sophomore, you were like, I see what he could be, and then as a junior, he started developing a post game, he could shoot, he was contributing offensively. I think Wooten's kind of there. It's like, okay, we know you can jump out of the building and block shots, but offensively, you're not even close to ready for the NBA.
Yeah, he's not ready. He needs to come back, and he will come back, I think. You know, he's got abilities that you can't teach, and that not very many people have. You know, his athleticism and his jumping ability off the charts. But he's got to become a complete player now, and that's the sales pitch, and that's the off-season message to him is, you got to go from being a guy who you know, on one night can go for 12 points and 7 blocks, and then the next night, you know, you score 4 points and, you know, you play 20 minutes because you're in foul trouble. That's been the story with him his whole career, is just being able to, you know, level off those peaks and valleys, play at a consistently high level. And that's what Jordan Bell did. You know, Jordan Bell also was kind of a raw player early in his career. I think Jordan Bell probably was a little farther along at this point in his career than Kenny Wooten is, but a similar player. And what we saw Jordan Bell do, you know, before his junior year, was really elevate his game to the point that every night you could count on him. And when he got down the stretch of his junior year, you know, he was just a beast. Like every single night, you know, double-double, you could count on him. So that's where Kenny Wooten's got to get to, and he's definitely not there yet. But with another year, I think that's within his reach for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Good insight, mostly good insight because I agree with it. But either way, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Austin, I was ready to say travel safe, but so travel safe home, but enjoy your time and the rest of the week here in Eugene.
All right. Hey, it's good to be back. I've been on the road for a while, so it's nice to be home and see the family again. So, yeah, good to be back. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Have a good one, Austin.